Chapter 5. False Hope. The doctrine of natural immortality, first borrowed from pagan philosophy, and in the darkness of the great apostasy incorporated into the Christian faith, has supplanted the truth that the dead know not anything. Ecclesiastes 9:5. Multitudes believe that the spirits of the dead are the ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Hebrews 1:14. The belief that spirits of the dead return to minister to the living has prepared the way for modern spiritualism. If the dead are privileged with knowledge far exceeding what they before possessed, why not return to earth and instruct the living? If spirits of the dead hover about their friends on earth, why not communicate with them? How can those who believe in man's consciousness, in death, reject divine light communicated by glorified spirits? Here is a channel regarded as sacred through which Satan works. Fallen angels appear as messengers from the spirit world. The prince of evil has power to bring before men the appearance of departed friends. The counterfeit is perfect, reproduced with marvelous distinctness. Many are comforted with the assurance that their loved ones are enjoying heaven. Without suspicion of danger, they give ear to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 1 Timothy 4:1. Those who went into the grave unprepared claim to be happy and to occupy exalted positions in heaven. Pretended visitants from the world of spirits sometimes utter warnings which prove to be correct. Then, as confidence is gained, they present doctrines that undermine the scriptures. The fact that they state some truths and at times foretell future events gives an appearance of reliability, and their false teachings are accepted. The law of God is set aside, the spirit of grace despised. The spirits deny the deity of Christ and place the Creator on a level with themselves. While it is true that the results of trickery have often been palmed off as genuine manifestations, there have been, also, marked exhibitions of supernatural power, the direct work of evil angels. Many believe that spiritualism is merely human imposture. When brought face to face with manifestations which they cannot but regard as supernatural, they will be deceived and accept them as the great power of God. By satanic aid, Pharaoh's magicians counterfeited the work of God. See Exodus 7, verses 10 through 12. Paul testifies that the coming of the Lord is to be preceded by the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 and 10. And John declares, "He doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell in the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do." Revelation 13, verses 13 and 14. No mere impostures are here foretold. Men are deceived by the miracles which Satan's agents do, not which they pretend to do. To persons of culture and refinement, the Prince of Darkness presents spiritualism in its more refined and intellectual aspects. He delights the fancy with enrapturing scenes and eloquent portrayals of love and charity. He leads men to take so great pride in their own wisdom that in their hearts they despise the Eternal One. Satan beguiles men now as he beguiled Eve in Eden, by exciting ambition for self-exaltation. "Ye shall be known as gods," he declares, "knowing good and evil." Genesis 3:5. Spiritualism teaches that man is the creature of progression toward the Godhead. And again, the judgment will be right because it is the judgment of self. The throne is within you. And another declares, "Any just and perfect being is Christ." Thus Satan has substituted the sinful nature of man himself for the law of God as the only rule of judgment. This is progress, not upward, but downward. man will never rise higher than his standard of purity or goodness. If self is his loftiest ideal, he will never attain to anything more exalted. The grace of God alone has power to exalt man. Left to himself, his course must be downward. To the self-indulgent, the pleasure-loving, the sensual, spiritualism presents a less subtle disguise. In its grosser forms, they find what is in harmony with their inclinations. Satan marks the sins each individual is inclined to commit, and then takes care that opportunities shall not be wanting to gratify the tendency. He tempts men through intemperance to weaken physical, mental, and moral power. He destroys thousands through indulgence of passion, brutalizing the entire nature. And to complete his work, the spirits declare that true knowledge places man above all law, that whatever is right, that God doth not condemn, and that all sins are innocent. When people thus believe that desire is the highest law, that liberty is license, that man is accountable only to himself, who can wonder that corruption teems on every hand? Multitudes eagerly accept the promptings of lust. Satan sweeps into his net thousands who profess to follow Christ. But God has given sufficient light to discover the snare. The very foundation of spiritualism is at war with Scripture. The Bible declares that the dead know not anything, that their thoughts have perished. They have no part in the joys or sorrows of those on earth. Furthermore, God has forbidden pretended communication with departed spirits. The familiar spirits, as these visitants from other worlds were called, are declared by the Bible to be the spirits of devils. See Numbers 25, verses 1 through 3, Psalm 106, verse 28, 1 Corinthians 10, 20, Revelation 16, 14. Dealing with them was forbidden under the penalty of death, Leviticus 19, 31, and 20, 27. But spiritualism has made its way into scientific circles, invaded churches, and found favor in legislative bodies, even in the courts of kings. This mammoth deception is a revival in a new disguise of the witchcraft condemned of old. By representing the basest of men as in heaven, Satan says to the world, "No matter whether you believe or disbelieve God and the Bible, live as you please. Heaven is your home." Saith the word of God, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness." Isaiah 5, 20. The apostles, personated by lying spirits, are made to contradict what they wrote when on earth. Satan is making the world believe that the Bible is fiction, a book suited to the infancy of the race, but now to be regarded as obsolete. The book that is to judge him and his followers he puts in the shade. The Savior of the world he makes to be no more than a common man. And believers in spiritual manifestations try to make it appear that there is nothing miraculous in our Savior's life. Their own miracles, they declare, far exceed the works of Christ. Spiritualism is now assuming a Christian guise, but its teachings cannot be denied or hidden. In its present form, it is a more dangerous, more subtle deception. It now professes to accept Christ and the Bible, but the Bible is interpreted in a manner pleasing to the unrenewed heart. Love is dwelt upon as the chief attribute of God, but is degraded to a weak sentimentalism. God's denunciations of sin, the requirements of his holy law, are kept out of sight. Fables lead men to reject the Bible as the foundation of their faith. Christ is as verily denied as before, but the deception is not discerned. Few have a just conception of the deceptive power of spiritualism. Many tamper with it merely to gratify curiosity. They would be filled with horror at the thought of yielding to the Spirit's control, but they venture on forbidden ground, and the destroyer exercises his power on them against their will. Let them once be induced to submit their minds to his direction, and he holds them captive. Nothing but the power of God, in answer to earnest prayer, can deliver these souls. All who willfully cherish known sin are inviting the temptations of Satan. They separate themselves from God and the watch care of his angels, and are without defense. When they shall say unto you, "Seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter," should not a people seek unto their God, for the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony? If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah 8, verses 19 and 20. If men had been willing to receive the truth concerning the nature of man and the state of the dead, they would see in spiritualism Satan's power and lying wonders. But multitudes close their eyes to the light, and Satan weaves his snares about them. Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, before God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. 2 Thessalonians 2:10-11. Those who oppose spiritualism assail Satan and his angels. Satan will not yield one inch of ground except as driven back by heavenly messengers. He can quote Scripture now as in the days of Christ, and he will pervert its teachings. Those who would stand in this time of peril must understand for themselves the testimony of the Scriptures. Spirits of devils personating relatives or friends will appear to our tender sympathies and will work miracles. We must withstand them with the Bible truth that the dead know not anything, and that they who thus appear are the spirits of devils. All whose faith is not established on the Word of God will be deceived and overcome. Satan works with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and his deceptions will increase. But those who seek a knowledge of the truth and purify their souls through obedience will find in the God of truth a sure defense. The Savior would sooner send every angel out of heaven to protect his people than leave one soul that trusts him to be overcome by Satan. Those who comfort themselves with the assurance that there is no punishment for the sinner, who renounce the truths which heaven has provided as a defense for the day of trouble, will accept the lies offered by Satan, the delusive pretensions of spiritualism. Scoffers hold up to ridicule the declarations of Scripture concerning the plan of salvation and the retribution to be visited upon the rejecters of the truth. They affect great pity for minds so narrow, weak, and superstitious as to obey the requirements of God's law. So fully have they yielded to the tempter, so closely are they united with him and imbued with his spirit, that they have no inclination to break away from his snare. The foundation of Satan's work was laid by the assurance given to Eve in Eden, "Ye shall not surely die. In the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Genesis 3, verses 4 and 5. His masterpiece of deception will be reached in the last remnant of time. Says the prophet, "I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. They are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty." Revelation 16, verses 13 and 14. Except those who are kept by the power of God through faith in his word, the whole world will be swept into the ranks of this delusion. The people are fast being lulled to a fatal security, to be awakened only by the outpouring of the wrath of God.